It's time for Theology Mix! Theology Mix is a ministry designed to bring church life and theological thought to the front of the line, as Jesus Christ should be the priority within all our spheres of influence. At Theology Mix, you'll find an open forum to discuss and debate Christian ideas and biblical interpretations, be refreshed by the many dedicated authors within the site. And coming soon will be the Theology Mixer radio show, where host Scott McCausey will bring the Theology Mix contributors and theologians to debate the issues and share their passions. Until then, enjoy an archive blast from Scott's program, Christian Devotion Speak Up, a show dedicated to testimony and encouragement. Enjoy the show and share the link. This is TheologyMix.com.
This is Scott McCausey with Christian Devotion Speak Up, and tonight I have an action-packed husband-wife combo. Listeners, as you well know, I love to have husband and wife duos on our program, and tonight you'll probably remember Jill Kelly. She was a featured guest of Christian Devotion Speak Up last year. She joined to share her testimony to Christ, as well as Krabbe disease, the Hunter's Hope Foundation, and all of her books. We're going to talk all about that again tonight, but also we have her husband, Jim, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Jim and Jill, welcome to Christian Devotion Speak Up.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you, and, you know, you guys are, I know, are in a gigantic busy season. You just got done with a radiothon where you raised over $167,000 for Hunter's Hope. Congratulations on that. We're going to talk about that more specifically here in a little bit. But chivalry rules here on our program. Jill, you're up first. I'd love for you to share just a brief synopsis of growing up, what life was like for your family, your faith, and how you and your husband met.
Oh, very fun first question. Well, like Jim, he and I both, as far as our faith is concerned, we both grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
And we both actually come from very close-knit families. My mother came from a family of 10, and I am the oldest of all the cousins. So, but that doesn't mean I'm old, but I'm the oldest of I'm the oldest of all the cousins, so I have a lot of relatives.
Yeah.
And I have only one sibling. I have a younger brother. His name is Jack. Yes, Jack and Jill. Ha, ha, ha. But, and I love him, and he has three children. And Jim and I met, actually, when I was fresh out of college in 1991. I was invited by a friend who knew a friend who knew a friend, that kind of thing. It was always the connection back then.
Oh, during absolutely.
The very exciting Super Bowl years for Jim. This is, you know, pretty much the height of his career.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 91. He had already gone to one Super Bowl, I believe. So we met. I was just out of college, and we were invited to a party at Jim's house. During that time in his life, he was fairly notorious for having parties in the basement of his home with all the players and tons of people after every home game.
Mm-hmm.
So we met there, and of course we both have our own version of that story, which is comical. But at the end of the night, that night specifically, the night we met, Jim actually asked how he would get a hold of me, because I was leaving and I was saying goodbye to him and
yeah.
other people, and I said, well, you don't, but, you know, it was nice to meet you, and off I went.
Oh,
so
boy.
The cool thing about that is that night, though I did not give Jim my phone number, he eventually, you know, found out where I worked, and he called me at work, and then we went out on our first date, and then so on. So I don't know if Jim wants to add to that.
No, keep on. You're doing good. You're doing good. Not quite exactly the way I would have said it, but not bad.
So she was pretty close on that, Jim?
Yeah, she was good. I'll let her have it this time.
All right.
Yeah, he's probably saying it's okay because I didn't add all the little tidbits and some of the embarrassing things, but yeah, it's all good.
You know, interestingly enough, and we're going to talk about how you guys came to Christ here in just a little bit, but when you take a look back at all the things that you've been through and faced, and even this meeting, could you see God's hand all over this thing?
I think so. I mean, when I take a look back now, for sure, and in fact, when I was writing Etched, what God has laid upon my heart for that book coming out in January, that made it even more clear to me how God was orchestrating so many things in the midst of moments in time that I'll never forget, because he's God, and, you know, he sees everything, the full picture, in a less, you know, than a heartbeat. He sees the full thing. So, and we only see in time right now. So after, you know, living by faith and trusting God for all things, I think he gives us eyes to see so far back into situations where, you know, maybe we, because we didn't even know him at that time, although he knew we were going to know him, you know?
That's right.
So those
are
all part of the story, and it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. What about you, Jim? What are your thoughts?
Well, I, you know, back then I didn't had no clue that it was going to get to this point. I think that Jill became a believer way before I did, and it took me a lot longer because early in my life, and I guess early in my football career in the NFL, I had the good Lord pushed on me, and it got to a point where, you know, it just was being put on me a way that I didn't feel comfortable, and the more people tried to convince me, the more and the further I went away from Christ. And but until, you know, after our son passed away and all the things that we went through as a family and went through as a marriage and all those things, then I started realizing that, number one, if I wanted to see my son again, then I was going to have to change my lifestyle. Mm. And if I wanted to walk through my front door and have my two daughters, Erin and Cameron, look at their daddy with respect, I was going to have to change my ways. And then ultimately, knowing the way my wife was and how she took care of my son and still was able to take care of her two daughters and not really having a husband there for her all the time, the things that I did that I'm not proud of, I knew I was going to have to change my life. And that's what I did. And now, Scott, I know when people used to tell me, and I used to hear that the word free, and oh, I felt free, and you heard those, didn't know what to think, just thought that was a word until it happened to me. And then once it happened to me, then I understood what it meant. And then now I know, by being a Christian, now I know I will see my son again. And, and my two daughters are, and Jill knows it, that those are our lives. I mean, these two girls are something we both cherish so, so much. And now I have a wife that I love very much. And, you know, we still have our spats here and there, and we all do. Who doesn't? Who doesn't in marriage?
Amen.
But, the good thing about it, it's not the spats that we usually spatted about or argued about. So we still have counseling, and I think for everybody out there, I think that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And but I'll tell you what, I'm so much better of a man, more of a man now than I was 5 years ago. Thank God.
Great
and if
statement.
I could just add to what Jim just said, and the beauty of, I mean, and I just, you know, I'm speaking and referring to women listening, or men for that matter, that are praying for their spouse and just waiting on, you know, God. And that's really, I think, what I learned most in praying for Jim, you know, as I was a believer, and God had to show me early on to love Jim for who he is, even in his sin, because that's, you know, how God loved me, and that's how he loves all of us, that it's while we were still sinners that Christ Jesus died for us.
Right.
And to not expect and heap expectations upon your spouse that only Christ can fulfill. And, of course, you know, I'm a work in progress. Jim's a work in progress. Our family is a work in progress. And thank God that God's the one who says that he begins that good work and that he finishes that good work. So, you know, that being said, and Jim, of course, mentioned counseling, you know, we recognize that ultimately, you know, our counselor is the Holy Spirit, who we need in every scenario. But also that, you know, we still just, we need help to communicate and, you know, continue this journey, because the journey is not over. And God still has a purpose and a plan for us as individuals, but also for our family and for our marriage. And the beauty of Jim, you know, exposing, and not just Jim, of course, but me too, exposing our weaknesses is really so that other people can be comforted and that they can be encouraged, because we don't have this all figured out, you know?
That's right. It's something that people see. You know, a lot of times we talk about getting in, you know, you don't have to get in somebody's face to say, oh, I love Jesus. A lot of it's how we act, how we carry ourselves, the things that we say. Like you already mentioned, communication is key. Getting into the Word, I mean, how important is that? So many times in today's culture, you know, folks will call themselves a believer, yet how often do they pick up the book and understand what being a believer really is all about?
And can you Go ahead, Jim.
You
know, one of the things that I always, you know, me and Joe talk about and how I really, I guess, became a Christian also. I mean, there's probably three or four fold on this, but it's not what you say to somebody, old saying. It's not what you say to somebody, it's how you say it. Because I am a firm believer, and if you want somebody to join you in your beliefs, whether it's being a leader on a football field or being a leader in the Bible, you have to know how to go about talking to that person. Everybody's different. So really find out who you're talking to. Now, knowing how to relate your message to them in a way that they feel comfortable, and don't put them in an uneasy position where you're almost like scaring them away. So that's not only, you know, when I talked about football, you know, getting Andre Reed to run a good route and not yelling at him when he runs a different route, or and as far as me being, you know, the good Lord being pushed on me early on in my life, it takes time, and I'm not perfect. But I try to make sure that when I speak to somebody, they see it by my actions, number one, and they see it by how I act and how I talk to them, number two.
Yeah. You hit on a big point, too, talking about, you know, some of the folks in the Bible, like Joseph himself, had big dreams and shared his dreams with his family. And, of course, he didn't have a whole lot of tact about the way he just slobbered out, you know, you're going to bow down to me and this and that. And the next thing you know, he's thrown in a pit and sold as a slave. So you're right. The way we talk has a gigantic...
So I'm just laughing because it's right. I mean, poor Joseph, you know, he's so...
Yes.
But that's, you know, I think that's the beauty. I mean, one of the beautiful things about being in God's Word, as you mentioned, and we're kind of just hopping around here with all these different things. But, I mean, I love the fact that the Bible is filled with real people.
Yeah.
Like, there you have it. There's Joseph, arrogant, you know, putting himself out there, or however you want to describe that scenario, immature, clueless, whatever. I mean, and there are people in there that just are real people that we can relate to, because that's what they are. They're people that God has chosen to reveal himself through, just as he chooses to reveal himself through us, you know?
Yeah.
And they're no, you know, rock stars, and neither are we. When it comes right down to it, the only famous one is Jesus. So the fact that God gave us these people as examples, I love. I mean, and that's why I just, and Jim knows this, I mean, I can't get enough of God's Word. Not only is it, you know, our lifeline as believers for everyday life, but just the fact that these people and that God has loved them tells me that like David, you know, the man who poured out his sorrows and screwed up time and again, and yet God says, he's a man after my own heart.
Yep.
I mean, that is so refreshing and so like, oh my goodness, like if David can pour out his heart like this to God and, you know, the things that he has said in the Psalms, man, that tells me that I can be real with God and that I don't have to be afraid or I don't have to put on some Christian veneer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can be who God's created me to be.
That's right.
It's like, and that I can go to him with everything and anything, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I do want to talk a little bit about, Jim, your family as well. We got a little lowdown on Jill's, and we got a whole bunch last year. And listeners, you can still check out that episode because all of our episodes archive on my homepage, www.christiandevotionsspeakup.com. Go there and you can check that out. But I want to talk about your family as well, Jim. I don't know a ton about your life growing up, other than the fact of what Jill shared with us last time. I believe you had a bunch of brothers. Tell us about growing up in a house maybe filled with some competition.
Yeah, just a little bit, I guess you could say.
Well,
you know, being raised in a family of a lot of brothers, you know, my dad was raised in an orphanage. He never knew his parents. And then he met my mother and went to the Navy for a few years. And then once he got out of the Navy, he married my mother. And they wanted to have kids like most Irish Catholics back in the day did. And they started out with a son named Pat, and then a son named Ed, and then a son named Ray. And all of a sudden, my dad's like, okay, that's enough. Three boys is good for me. And, of course, my mother didn't want to have anything to do with that. She wanted a girl. So they gave her one more try, and they had me to make four boys. And of course, my dad was just going crazy. He had four boys, four sons he wanted. But, of course, Mom wasn't Dutch because, no, one more try. I got to have my girl.
Yes.
Ended up with twin boys.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, and that's no more. That's it. So he stopped at six, and it's kind of interesting because as we grew up, and we, you know, continue to mature, we always want to be good enough to take care of mom and dad because we know what we put them through growing up. And, of course, all of us athletes all love football. We played basketball. We played baseball. We played all the sports you can do. Mm-hmm. And then I was, I was one of the blessed ones to have an ability to be able to make it to the next level. My oldest brother, Pat, was drafted by the Baltimore Colts back in the early 70s, and he only played a few years. Played a few years in the World Football League, but overall, I grew up and started maturing and really getting to know what it takes. The work ethic that my father instilled in all of us still is there today, not only in my world as far as when I play professional football, but with Hunter's Hope and the things that I do now. But it's also the same. I say this all the time, and Jill knows this, and she even mentioned it in different words, but I have probably the closest family you could possibly get. Me and my five brothers, we do a lot together. We're very much alike in a lot of respect, and we love each other dearly. And of course, that goes with Joe's family. We love each other's families, and I'm very blessed to have good people that when things didn't quite go the way I wanted them, that I've always had somebody to talk to lean on. And then, of course, I have a brother that's also a Christian. I'm a brother, Danny, who had a son born 11 days before Hunter was. So they automatically were going to be the two. One was my son would wear number 12. Zach would wear number 83. I already had the game plan written. The script was done, and I already knew what was going to go on. But unfortunately, my son was diagnosed, as you well know, at the age of 4 months. And I was a blessed father with a very blessed son that through him, we can make a difference for so many other kids. And that's my life right now. And you know what? Yeah, you still dream about those days of what could have been. But now this is what I've been dealt, and we are doing wonderful things. We are saving so many other kids' lives. And it took me a while to get it, Scott, but I finally get it, and I understand why the Lord picked me, because of a special little boy named Hunter that we can't change lives.
Amen. And I want to talk a little bit about getting to that point. I do want to talk a little football. I don't get to talk a lot of football in Christian Devotion Speak Up. So that's one of the things I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I had Jim Kelly. This is sweet. So anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about your high school career. I mean, here you are doing some cool things, and you signed with the Miami Hurricanes. Fourth string. I'd like you to talk a little bit about perseverance, because I mean, this is just one part of your life where you persevered and knew that you were set apart to do something a little different than fourth string. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, where I grew up, you're either Pitt or Penn State fan, and I've always been a big Penn State fan. Unfortunately, what's happened recently is very sad.
Oh, sure.
But back in the late 70s. I wanted to play for Penn State. I went to Joe Paterno's football camp my junior and senior year, and I envisioned myself being a Penn State Nittany Lion wearing those boring uniforms in front of 100,000 people and fulfilling my dreams of playing in the NFL. But unfortunately, right before the national signing date, he came and told me, he said, Jim, I just want to let you know we've already signed two All-State quarterbacks, but we'll give you a full scholarship, but as a linebacker. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And needless to say, I did not sign with Penn State. I went to the University of Miami, where I thought I was going to come out and have a chance to start. And unfortunately, as you said, I was fourth string, maybe even fifth string. But the fast forward, what happened was I was redshirted my freshman year. And then about halfway through my redshirt freshman year, we're traveling to Penn State to play the Nittany Lions. And right before the game, about 3 or 4 hours before the game, after pregame meal, Coach Howard Schnellenberger came up to me. He said, Jim, I decided today we're going to start you. And I go, excuse me? He said, yeah, we decided you deserve the opportunity to go out there as best you can do it. And First thing I did was I went to the bathroom and I threw up for about 20 minutes. I was so nervous. Like, you got to be kidding me. I was just planning on, you know, visiting with my mom and dad. They came up to give me the, you know, the chocolate chip cookies and maybe a couple pair of socks and a couple of shirts or something like that. And all of a sudden, I'm starting against a team that said I wasn't good enough to be their quarterback. And as a matter of fact, that day, we beat them 26-10. And the interesting thing, you talk about football, and you don't get a chance to really talk a lot of football on your show. Mm-hmm. But my four games as a college football player were against Penn State, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Florida. So,
wow.
Good time in AA football. And I don't know whether you know this or not, Scott. You've heard of Mark Richt before?
Yes.
Mark Richt is a devoted Christian, and he is the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs and has been that for like 10 years. He was my backup quarterback for 4 years at the University of Miami. So it's kind of interesting how our paths went public ways, and now we're both talking to Christians.
That is really cool. I had no idea. That's super cool.
Yeah, it was, and he's a good man.
Well, so talking about persevering, in 1983, I mean, you have your college career, which was fantastic. In 83, it's kind of known as the year of the quarterback when it comes to the NFL. But what surprised me is I was doing, I got a break with everything here, because I just have to say this, having a football guy on, I got to like watch tape and stuff. You know, how dumb is that? A Christian devotion speak up, I'm watching tape. But anyway. Completely sidebar. Anyway, the things I learned about you that I couldn't remember and didn't remember was the fact that you were drafted by the Bills, but you didn't play for them right away, which kind of surprised me. Tell me a little bit about the decision-making and going to the USFL at that time in your life.
Well, number one, for me, my senior year in college, I mean, I was up for the Heisman Trophy, and I blow my shoulder, and they told me I would never play football again. And then...
Right.
Having to rehab my shoulder back and get it back to where I wanted it, and then being drafted by the Buffalo Bills. You know, you got to understand, I went to the University of Miami of Florida, not Ohio,
right.
Florida, to get out of that cold weather. And all of a sudden, I'm drafted by the Buffalo Bills. We're back-to-back 2-14 season. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to go there. And then I went to the USFL for a couple of years, but ultimately one of the best decisions I've ever made was becoming a Buffalo Bill in 1986. And I tell you what, and I still live here and just love the people. I have a lovely wife and we're enjoying life now, but it was something that I never thought that the paths would have taken me to where I'm at now.
Mm.
But it's always changed one thing. I'm very happy and excited.
Mm. That's so, so cool. And, you know, the only thing that I could think of, too, as I was going through the history is, you know what, he wanted to go to the USFL because he didn't get drafted by my Detroit Lions. You know, you
oh,
could have
wow.
been, yeah,
sorry
you could have been with Barry Sanders in the early 90s, you know.
I had Thurman Thomas.
You did have Terminator, you know, and that is the continuing discussion here in Michigan. Who was greater, the Terminator or Barry Sanders?
I'll put it this way. Probably one of the greatest pure running backs, just running back, has to be Barry Sanders, him and Walter Payton. But I think one of the best all-purpose running backs, a guy that can come out of the backfield, a guy can do everything, block, it was Thurman Thomas. I mean,
yeah.
He could do it all. He could be a receiver. He could block. He hardly had any mental mistakes during the course of a game and was a great running back. And that's why they're both in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you could have thrown to Herman Moore, too. Did you ever think about that?
No, but that's pretty cool, too. I have pretty good wide receivers, James Lofton, Andre
yes,
Reed. So I've been very blessed throughout my football career.
Yes, you have. I was just wishful thinking right there. If you'd have been a Lion, oh, who knows what would have happened. Anyway. Okay, so let's move back into your life in your family. May 4th, your first child, Aaron, is born. Both of you guys can share about this stage of your life and how important and special this was.
Good, Jill.
Oh, wow. Well, I was just getting so caught up in all this football talk that I kind of,
Sorry, Jill.
And of course I was like, well, yeah, thank God he didn't go to Detroit. Hello. We would have never met. So, and then there wouldn't.
Good point.
There would have never been a May 4th. So, well, actually, the birth of our first child was with any parent would agree. I mean, it was not anticipated in the sense that we were prepared because Jim and I were not married. at that time. And we share that as part of our testimony because it's part of our testimony and that God is a God of redemption and he has redeemed every choice that Jim and I have made. So, and I'm so thankful, though, you know, abortion was brought up when I was pregnant because we were scared and, you know, Jim was still playing and he's a very public figure. So just all the, you know, should we get married before she's born? All of those, everything that you can imagine was brought to the table. And I'm just so thankful to God that, you know, that was not something we chose to do. We chose to have our daughter, Erin, who is 17 right now, on fire for the Lord, is a beautiful example of what it looks like to walk by faith. And so, yeah, we were excited and scared and had no clue how to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, obviously, you know, God was going to guide us, even though we didn't know him at the time. And he certainly did that.
Yeah, definitely. And Jim, your thoughts? I mean, here you are in the midst of a Hall of Fame career, and Jill becomes pregnant. What's going through your mind?
Well, I was near the end of my career, and I loved her, number one, and number two. It was, at the time, you'd think maybe a little of a stumbling block, but for both of us, it didn't take me very long to realize that there's no abortion. We're having a child, and we loved each other, and we both believed in that, and that was the bottom line. I mean, Jill said it about as good as you possibly can say it, about us not being Christians and really not knowing, and then having to explain that to our parents, which are very religious people and very old-fashioned, that from number one, not sleeping in the same bed to definitely not having sex before your marriage. So all those things creeped in prior to that when we did make our decision. But ultimately, we have a beautiful daughter named Erin, and we wouldn't change anything. It is part of our testimony.
That's awesome.
And if I can just add to that, because Erin, you know, now that she turned 17, she is now allowed to actually officially date. And I say that with quotes on both ends. But, you know, I mean, Jim and I mean, she's a smart girl, and we knew that there would come a time where we would have to explain, you know, why is she in pictures of us, with us at our wedding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's something that, and I had prayed and prayed that God would give us the right moment and the right, you know, the words that he would speak through me in order to explain that to her. And the ultimate for that in this situation is that the truth sets all of us free.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim and I have nothing to be ashamed of. And, you know, we believe in abstinence and we trust that God will protect both of our daughters. And we believe in the prayer for that, you know, that they would, that whatever, you know, sin or whatever was caused through the lineage of our families in any way, that would not pass on to our children. So, I mean, there's so many ways that we pray about that, too, you know, that God has a perfect plan and that they know that the perfect plan is that they would wait and keep their bodies pure until marriage. So, you know, we're believing in that for our girls.
Yeah. You know, and my oldest daughter, 16, and this past year, I mean, these are new experiences for me, too. I can completely hear what you're talking about because she comes to me, and there's a young man who has an interest, and so, you know, Dad had to have some conversations and essentially told my daughter, look, I have your heart until the time that the Lord tells me different. So it is, though, an interesting part of life. Jim, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree. First thing I did was, and Erin knew that she was not allowed to date until she was 17 years old. If it was up to me, it would probably been 20, 21. But one of the things I did was I pulled the young man aside and I showed him my bow collection. I started out archery hunting, and I said, if you pass through the archery, you still got to pass through the shotgun the second date. And if you make it to the second through the second date, that means you're okay and you're still around. So I the bottom line is with you know, her first person she went out with, it was more so this is my baby. And I, you know, for me, it's she's everything, and I don't want anything or anyone to hurt her, and realize that there are consequences for hurting my baby. And he knew. I mean, he's a Christian, and he's a very good kid. And if I didn't like him to begin with, I would never even let my daughter even think about going out with him on a date. So there's a lot of other things, but we don't have time for all the detail. But it worked out pretty good, and he's a good kid with good parents.
Yeah, definitely. And since you guys went there, I mean, I had to continue that line of questioning just because we probably have listeners out there that are in the same circumstance. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do now? But we can succeed, I think. So.
Absolutely.
With the good Lord's guidance. Now, Erin also is a co-author with you, isn't she, Jill?
Well, her and her younger sister, Cameron, for Hot Chocolate with God. And that has been a really, really fun journey and a huge responsibility, I have to say, because with the, with putting ourselves out there in that way, we've also have a very active website where girls are always sending us, questions, concerns that they're going through for tween age group, and in addition to that, prayer requests. So, these girls are real girls that we have to respond to, and we in a sense, feel responsible to them, for what it is they're going through. And it's fun because it allows the girls and I to do something for girls and to take what God has, taught us, the comfort that he's given us, and to share that and pass it on to others. So it's been a learning journey, and we're now just starting book 3 in the book series. Book 2 comes out in September, and then we have 2 devotionals coming behind that. So we got a lot going on.
Yes, you do. And for our listeners who want to check out more about what Jill has going on, jillk.org, and speaker information, author information, books are on there, the whole nine yards. And for those of you who want to check out Jim's website, jimkelly.com, and he's got all kinds of stuff on there as well, including his new book, which we're going to talk about in just a second.
Just a Hot Chocolate with God website, too, since we're talking websites. And that's just pretty simply hotchocolatewithgod.com.
Perfect. Thank you. And moving towards the Hunter's Hope Foundation, a couple years after Erin, as you kind of shared and alluded to earlier, Jim, your son is born. And on your birthday, no less. And here you've got all kinds of successes in your life, riding high. And Jill shared the story last time on Speak Up, how you just kind of discovered what was going on. Tell us about how this affected your lives, your hearts, the whole nine yards.
You two have about 3 hours to talk, huh? It is a long story, and I'm so passionate about it, and I'll try to keep it as short as I can. But
sure.
The thing is, I retired from the NFL in 1996 was my last season. And I remember when I announced my retirement, it was on January 31st, 1997, just very shortly, a couple weeks after my last game. And at the time, Jill was pregnant. We have already been blessed with a beautiful daughter named Erin, as we were talking about. And 2 weeks later on Valentine's Day, which, as we talked about earlier, our son was born. And, of course, I thought what every daddy out there thinks about, going out in the backyard and tossing a football and playing catch with a baseball and shooting hoops and going hunting and fishing and a lot of things that I did with my father, I dreamt about doing with my son. But 4 months into his life, he was diagnosed with a fatal disease called Krabbe leukodystrophy. And what that is, real quickly, it affects the white matter in your brain. And what the white matter does, it controls all of your motor skills, everything we take for granted on an everyday basis. These children do not have any of those motor skills, and the average life is only 14 months. And when we were first given the news at 4 months of age, pretty much we woke up every single day thinking, is this the last day that our son's going to be with us? And we treat him like that. We treat him like he was dying. And then very shortly after that, within a year, year and a half, we decided, and Joe decided, that we got to quit treating him like he's dying. Let's treat him like he's living.
Mm.
From the snowmobile rides to the horseback rides to so many things that he was able to do, because we quit treating him like he was dying.
Mm.
And I can honestly say, probably say as a daddy, he lived to be 8.5 years old. But one of the reasons he lived to be that long is the unconditional love that he got, not only from mommy and grandma, but from the support that we had through the nurses that we had that have grown to love us and to be a part of our family. And I know Jill likes talking about that part, because a lot of people that came in contact with us through Hunter were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So it was automatically, it was something I think God was preparing us for, preparing my wife as she became a believer, and as it took me a lot longer to become a believer, but he kept on surrounding us with Christian people to help us get through some of the tough times and really have other people to lean on and to pray with. And Scott, I finally got it. It took me a little bit longer, but it's all part of God's perfect timing. And here I am today, a Christian of 5 years, and very happy.
And you did a great job summarizing that, by the way. You're exactly right. When our children have life-threatening illnesses, it tears at the fabric of everything that is us, our marriages, our faith, our family, you know, our extended family, and the time commitment. My son was born with a twin inside of him, and Jill and I were sharing before the show started in regards to just taking him to college the other day. And the first couple months of his life, we didn't know if he was going to be here, you know, much longer at that point in time at all. So it does. That dynamic just rips and tears at you. Maybe you guys could share a little bit about the struggles that you personally faced, especially, Jim, since you weren't a believer quite yet at that time, just like I wasn't either when that happened to us.
Yeah, it took a long time. Joe and I, of course, as you stated, one was a believer, which was Joe, and one wasn't. I was pretty much bitter at the world, bitter at God, bitter because I did not have a son that I, all the things I dreamt about doing with him. And it did take me a lot longer, but I think what drew us together and what drew Jill even more into it is she really needed something. She didn't have me there. I was always on the road. I was doing my thing, and she needed somebody, and I was not there for her at times where she needed somebody to talk to. She needed somebody to cry on the shoulder. I wasn't there. And she needed somebody, and she sought the Lord, and she was able to communicate and really in a way that made her accept our son being the way he was, being able to cry and then be able to recover and still be able to take care of not only Hunter, but take care of Aaron, our oldest, and then all of a sudden there's another one in the picture and a daughter named Cameron. So for us, we totally took a different avenue, and it wasn't until after my son's death that I really knew that if I didn't change my lifestyle, I was never going to get the chance to see my son again or have that respect for my daughters and the love for my wife that I desperately needed, and she desperately needed it too. So it came full circle. I shouldn't say full circle, but it came back to for me to finally get it, and it took a good knock upside my head for me to understand it, but I'm here. And I couldn't be any happier.
Mm. Now, you guys just completed. I'm sorry?
I said, praise God.
Oh, amen.
So, and I'm just thinking, too, because Jim, you know, mentioned unconditional love. And
yes.
The truth is, you know, we don't, none of us know what real love, real unconditional love is until the love of God is actually flowing through us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for myself, and Jim, it took the suffering of our one and only son to bring us to God's one and only son, ultimately. I mean, if you're going to say it in a nutshell, that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was Hunter's suffering. I mean, if Hunter was a normal, healthy boy, we would still be completely self-centered, full of the world. I mean, we wouldn't even have considered to walk with God the way we are, to find our hope and our security and our eternal life in Christ alone. So, I mean, it was Hunter's suffering that led us to the suffering of Christ that ultimately paid the penalty that we could never pay. And, you know, obviously when we come to him, and I believe this would go for all of us who are Christians, I mean, we come to God for selfish reasons. I mean, we all do. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I came to the Lord because I wanted heaven. Mm-hmm. I wanted heaven. I knew and believed that Hunter was going there, and I just wanted to know, well, if he's going there, then I'm going there. So how do I get there? And the beauty of that is that I found the author of heaven and the author of salvation and the author of hope and joy and the author of all things when I was seeking after heaven. And I love that Jesus, you know, doesn't say to us, hurry up, clean yourself up, and come to me. He just says to come to him. So any of us, all who come, are saved by grace through faith. You know, it's not anything that we do. It's not any of our works. It's not even our coming to him ultimately, but it's a work of God in us. So, and I think that's so, you know, though you know, for all of us, it takes different circumstances, but I love the fact that, you know, God, it's God ordaining circumstances in order to bring us to himself, because he knows exactly what it's going to take. And for us, it was our only son.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
right.
Funny, Scott, that you listen to Jill and then you listen to me. You tell Jill speaks the Christian language, and I don't quite have the Christianese down. I try to do the best that I possibly can, but it's interesting. You listen to Jill and then try. I could not even attempt to speak like Jill does, but I have it in my heart, and I guess that's what counts.
That's all that matters.
It definitely,
right.
Absolutely. With Christ on our side, there's nothing that we can't do. Now, I'm going to try and wrap up like four questions in one right here, because we are running short of time, and I do want to talk about Jim's book just a little bit. Now, you just raised like over $167,000 for a radiothon for Hunter's Hope. Last time, Jill, you were on the program, we talked a little bit about this disease and how it affects children, and Jim touched on a little bit too. And one of the things we talked about, if memory serves, the importance of screening when babies are first born, and what is screened for and what is not screened for. Maybe you could share a little bit about what this money goes towards in regards to fighting this disease, and how is there progress being made in regards to the screening process in different states?
I think Jim would do this answer justice, just because of his passion, and that he has gone from, you know, state to state, most recently California and Jersey, right, Jim, or something like that. So he is our face.
Good way to spin it to me, Jill. Good job.
Well, it's true.
They love spinning that stuff. I know, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, and again, Scott, to make a long story short, we set up our foundation, and when Hunter was born, the state of New York was only testing for 11 diseases, where he had Mississippi at 45, Illinois at 51, wow. And so many states doing so many different things. And unfortunately, in this country, every state is different on how many diseases they test for. And New York now, thank God, is up over 50. I've been to Mississippi, I've been to Arizona, New Mexico, Pennsylvania. I can name a bunch more states, but it's sad that I have to be one person to go and speak in order for them to understand that every state in this country is different on how many diseases they test for. And every year, thousands and thousands of babies are dying because they're not diagnosed early enough. And for our son, if he was diagnosed at the age of four, you know, at birth, we would have had a chance for him to have a quality of life. But unfortunately, we didn't find out until 4 months into his life he had this disease. And what we're working on is universal newborn screening to give every child, every time, everywhere, a chance to dream like I was able to dream, and the goals that I was able to set. So for all the listeners out there, log on to huntershope.org. Find out more about what we're doing to make sure that when you are having a child, when your granddaughter's having a baby, that you look at our website and you can get a supplemental newborn screening packet that can test for all 60 diseases. And thank God that the majority of babies in this country are healthy. But if they're not going to be, you want to make sure that you catch that as soon as possible. So I just urge everybody to log on to Hunter's Hope and find out what we're doing, to learn more about it, because it may save your son or your daughter's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And this telethon, the radiothon, was all over the Facebook page. By the way, listeners, you can jump on there, too, and like and follow. Man, so many good things are going on. And as I'm looking at the pictures, I'm like, okay, next year, you guys have another one of these. You let me know. I'll drive over wherever you guys are, Northern New York, whatever the case might be, and I'll man a phone for a little while and answer some phone calls. I got some chemistry customers in Pennsylvania, so I can make that happen, too, because this is such a noteworthy thing that you guys are doing. You told us where people can go. What can they be praying for specifically, Jim?
Oh, well, pray for, number one, both Jill and I, and of course, pray for all those people out there that are looking to have a child, pray for a healthy child. If they don't, really pray for our foundation, because the strides that we're making are making a difference every day, and we can't do it alone, Scott. And as you probably know this,
It doesn't matter whether you're a sports team, a football, basketball, baseball, whether you're an organization, a business, or whether you're a foundation. You cannot do this alone. It takes volunteers. It takes people helping. So just pray for our foundation that we get the right people in to help us achieve our goals and to make a difference for kids.
Amen. Amen. And I'm serious. Let me know when that thing is. I'll come over and do the host thing somehow.
Right.
You do it, too. I'm in. That's an awesome, noteworthy deal, and love to do that. And to be able to shake you guys' hands for all the hard work you guys have been doing. Haven't had a chance to talk about the book. Jim, tell us about the book, The Playbook for Dads. What's that thing all about?
Well, Playbook for Dads, it's something I thought about, and Jill and me, we sat down, and I got a co-author named Ted Kluck, and we sat down and talked about what we wanted to have come out of this book. And I remember growing up in a family that I did with my five brothers and how my father and my mother brought us up and all the values and how important the yes, sirs, and how important a easy thank you, the firm handshake, looking the person in the eye, and what my father told us about, you know, things are not always going to go your way, sons. It's just what you do about it. It's what counts. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Strive to be the best, but you got to work at it. Nothing's going to come easy in your life. And the values that I learned, and then having a football camp for 25 years and seeing how things have changed, that the values of the easy, the thank you, the firm handshake, all those things kids don't do anymore. I mean, there are some kids that do it, but a lot of them don't, and try to make sure they understand where I'm coming from. I mean, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the parenting answers. But I just hope that somebody will, you know, get something out of this, and they'll be able to share with their son or their daughter and how important it is from having respect. That when your parents say yes, it means yes. When a parent say no, it means no.
That's right.
And how you bring them up and how it starts at home with mom and dad, and not wait until they're old enough to start learning things out on the streets or learning things from different friends, and making sure that they pick different good friends, that you are who you hang with, and you show me your friends and I'll show you your future, and your future's not very bright if you hang out with the wrong people. So it starts at home, but also with all the things that are going on in today's society with Facebook and Twitter, how kids nowadays have to grow up a lot earlier because they don't have the chance to make those mistakes like we were able to do as kids, where if you did something wrong, a few families may know about it, or a couple guys may know about it. But now if you mess up on Twitter or Facebook, thousands of people know, and your character is going to be tested, and it's going to be tested a lot earlier age than it was back when we did. So just really trying to educate parents and for them to know that I don't have all the parenting answers, but it's something I've learned, and hopefully they'll get something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, I think you speak the God language just fine. I don't see any problems with it. You're doing a great job.
Can I just add to that?
Yes.
I think that, and I know that Jim, you know, would have said this, but as he's speaking, you know, ultimately from the perspective of Jim being a dad, I mean, these are the things that he wanted to teach Hunter and our daughters. So with every chapter in The Playbook for Dads, Jim starts each chapter with a little note to Hunter and then ends it with a note to Aaron and Cameron. And just the fact that, you know, these are life things that Jim has learned in the, you know, the battlefield and the football field and in the many ups and downs of his own life, that he would have been able to teach these and hope to teach these to his own son, but now is sharing them so that, you know, other dads might actually share them with their sons. I mean, that's just, I mean, you can't put a, it's hard to quantitate that, you know, I mean,
right.
It's such a beautiful thing. So I think
it's kind of interesting how Jill said that, because I've done so many interviews today for my book that, you know, things all of a sudden get all knocked down. I go, oh, yeah, I knew I wanted to say that.
Yes.
But they come out. It just, everything becomes so boggled in your mind that you forget a couple of things. But thanks, Joe. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
See, it's a dynamic duo. That's why I love having that. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Jim and Joe show.
There you go. Absolutely.
It's a team. Always a team.
Well,
that's right.
You know, I got to have you guys back on again next year, just to give us, even if it's short, just to give us an update on Krabbe disease and Hunter's Hope Foundation. Could we do that all over again?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Done deal. And final thought, Bills Lions Super Bowl, it can't happen, right?
Yeah, it can happen. The Lions are definitely getting better. The Bills should be a lot better this year, so we shall see what happens. Neither one of them fared very well in the early years, within the last 10 years, but both teams are coming on, so we'll see. I don't know about this year, maybe the next couple of years.
All right, done deal. Well, thank you again. I know you guys had a slew of interviews today. I've kept you longer than I wanted to. Thank you for being with us on Christian Devotion Speak Up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
This show was brought to you today by Scott McCausey and TheologyMix.com in conjunction with Christian Devotion Speak Up. The thoughts expressed today may not be that of the ministry, but are meant to encourage, uplift, and make you, the listener, think about Christ-centered life and ministry. In Matthew 5, 13-17, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under by people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand and give it light to all the house. In the same way, let your life shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." We pray you'll be the salt and the light by sharing the link, which not only helps grow this ministry, but the kingdom of God. Until next time, this is Scott McCausey sharing, God bless your week.